We're on Yud Tes, Amud Aleph. Right in the middle is a little picture, and that line under the picture says, Tana. We learn, it doesn't say Tanya, but it means we learn in a braisa, so this happens to be a Tosafta. If you take a look, Rick, you probably have an asterisk or something else. And, I thought you were going to put your phone down on the desk like Josh. Okay, never mind. Shkoyach to Josh. Knows himself. Knows the right thing to do. Tana, we learn in a Tosafta, Pesel, Yaitzim, Min HaSukkah, Nira, and Kisukkah. Pesel. What's a Pesel? Obviously, it's a graven image. It's an idol. Leisasa Elecha. Pesel, the whole Tmuna. Right now, let's make a Pesel. Right, so I don't know exactly if the etymology of this word is related at all, but Pesel, used in the Gemara, the way we see it, is Schach. It means Schach Kasher. Right? Schach. What? How does he translate it over there? How do you guys translate it?
Garbage.
Garbage? That's how he translates it? No.
That's how I think he translates.
So, if you remember, we saw this word has been used in the past when you go ahead and you replace, you take off a beam, you have a bunch of boards. So you remove a board and you put pesel in its place. You know, so that means it's schach kasher. So you have pesel, assumingly it means schach, that's how we've seen it used a little bit until now. Benji. I have a collection now. Pesel yotzim in a sukkah nidon kisukkah. Quote unquote, pesel that is going out of the sukkah is judged, nidon, right? Is judged, is treated like it is part of the sukkah. Okay, that is the quote that the Gemara is now going to get involved in. What exactly does it mean? Because, you know, sometimes pesel can maybe be related to the word of pasul. You know, it's no good. So is it something about being no good? Is it something about stock kasher?
Agricultural waste products.
Agricultural waste products, okay.
Which would be stock kasher.
Right. That's how it's used. In other words, he wants to say that the technical word pesel comes from the additional parts. So in other words, what do you mean a waste product? I mean to say, let's say that you go ahead and you harvest your wheat, your barley. So there are, I was sitting yesterday, and Rav Khan was walking into yeshiva as I was going to walk out. That's why I was so late, Benji. We got that lunch very late together. I was very late. I was schmoozing with Rav Khan. So Rav Khan told me that he's on some kind of diet, and he had one of those, what do you call it? These naked drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah, a very tsanua name. And she got them some clothing. And so I said, really, there's no sugar in it? He's like, yeah, look, and it says no added sugar. It's all just naturally occurring sugars. And he starts reading the, what? But it's all naturally, you know. So if you're allowed to eat fruit, no, you're allowed to eat as much fruit as you want on the diet. So it's not a, you know, not a violation of the diet. And he starts reading through the ingredients, and it says wheat plant, the wheat grass, wheat plant, something like that, like a very strange name. And then the same thing with barley, part of the barley grass or something like that. Like, what is that? So we looked up a little bit. Apparently, you know, when the wheat grows, it eventually grows the little kernels and stuff like on the top. I don't really know how this works. But there are stalks in addition to all of the kernels. So if you harvest wheat or barley of any of these grains, on the top you have all the other kernels, but you have all the stalks that eventually become hay and grass, you know, whatever you dry them out for the horses and whatnot, and other kinds of things. So that's the technical waste product of the wheat, because it's not food. So which part can you use for schach and which part can you not use for schach? So the food part,
you can't,
why? Susceptible, at least. It's makabel tuma. It's makabel tuma. But the stalk itself is not. So that's the pesel. So Shaila is this any issue of yashan and chadash? Is this an issue of the grain being an issue? It's like the grassy part. It's not the grain part. Is that an issue of, you know, can you make like matzah, you know, out of that stuff? You know, what's the story with it? Is it like a chametz, Shaila? But any case. So the pesel that yotzei min hasukkah is nidon kisukkah. So the question is, what exactly does this mean? So the Gemara asks, my pesel yotzei min hasukkah, what does this mean? Amar Ula. Ula says, kanim hayotzim l'achorei sukkah. What are kanim?
Reeds.
Reeds or some kind of, you know, schach, right? Schach. That is yotzim, sticking out. What's l'achorei hasukkah? What's l'achar? In the back. Achar means afterwards. In the back of something. So here you have a sukkah. Your schach is just too long for the sukkah, so it sticks out into the back. Yeah, you can picture it. You have your mat, you have whatever, and your sukkah is very small, so the sock sticks out past your sukkah. Okay. Well, that's kosher? What's it missing? Everything. It has no walls. What are you talking about? You can just sit underneath the sock because it happens to be sticking out in the back of your sukkah? You need three walls. B'de'ika, where there are. So apparently the guy wasn't such a great, architect. See, he made his sukkah, it's not flush. So the walls are sticking out on three sides. You got the back of the sukkah, and the two walls are sticking out. But you need enough that it's 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim at least. B'de'ika. It is. It's sticking out far enough that technically there's a sukkah in the back of the sukkah. But you require from that schach more that it's generating more shade than sunlight. And this is just a couple of pieces sticking out. No. B'de'ika. The schach, your schach is just sticking out past your sukkah. But it's enough to make actually a kosher sukkah in the back of your sukkah. Yahi, my lememra. If so, what's it saying? Like, what's the chiddush then? You've got a sukkah in the back of your sukkah, and it has all the walls, it has all the schach, it has everything you need. So what's the chiddush? Obviously it's a sukkah, right? What's the answer? Ma'o de seimo, what is there to say? I would have thought. Hoyol l'gavoy avidei. Ulevaroy lo yavidei. What's gavoy and what's baroy? These are opposites. Gavoy means the inside. And baroy, bro, means the outside. It's interesting, Aramaic bro actually means the sun. Like the product or something on the outside of the person. I don't know if that's related necessarily or not. But some want to say, Bresh is bara elikim, that bara, to create, is to take something inside and bring it to the outside. So it means outside. Bra means outside. So since it, I'm going to use that in quotation marks. Are you ready? You guys pay attention? We'll do something a little bit fun, interesting, I hope. We'll see how it goes. How many phones around? Since it, in quotation marks, is made for the inside of the sukkah, ulevaroy, and for the outside, loy avide, it is not made. Ema loy, say that it's no good. Kamash malan, comes to teach us this brisa, this toisefta, that it is good. Okay, so let's pause, let's digest, let's discuss this. What's the case? The case is simple, right? Everyone has it, straightforward. So you have a sukkah. That's our three-walled sukkah, right? The thing is that this wall extended this way a little bit. This wall extended this way a little bit. So the schach sticks out also on top of the back. So, regularly the schach would be only over this part of the sukkah, but it extends all the way over to the back. So you have obviously your regular sukkah is in here, but because everything sticks out and there's enough room here to be 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, man, there's schach kosher enough to make enough shade. So you actually have a sukkah in the back of your sukkah. So you can all picture it now? So what's the chiddush, says the Gemara? It is not made for this area. It is made for this area inside the sukkah. So you might have thought that since it was not made for here, then it's no good. Because it wasn't your intention. It's not what it was made for. And therefore you can't consider this to be a valid sukkah in the back. Kamash Bulan, that's the chiddush, is that you can. What's it? What's it? It wasn't made for the back. It was made for the inside. What's it? The schach?
The small section, the section of the schach that's overhanging into the second sukkah.
Anybody have any other suggestions?
The walls.
The? Anybody? Well, those are the two possibilities, right? It's either the walls.
It's definitely not the walls.
Or the stuff. Why is it definitely not the walls?
Because you can have walls. The whole point of the sukkah is that you can see multiple times. Like that you can have walls already put up and all you have to do is put stuff on or even just move it around in order to make it like an intention for.
In all those cases that you're thinking of, were the walls intended for the inside or the outside?
For the inside, but it doesn't matter what your intent was.
But this wall is intended for the inside, not the outside.
It doesn't matter what your intention is, the wall. That's there. The only thing that matters is the spot.
Anybody have any opinions about that?
I agree.
Okay, so you guys are on target for most Rishonim. The only Rishon that you're missing is Rashi. Oi. Oi. All right, let's take a look. Take a look. Well, let's take a look. You see how they're wide, the widest lines in Rashi at the bottom? Three lines down, almost smack in the middle. Three lines down into wide lines. See, it says, Levaroi lo yavide. Sweet, see it? Levaroi lo yavide. Third wide line down. Three lines down in the wide lines, right in the middle. Levaroi lo yavide. It is not made for the back. Rashi writes, Zuk drashi, doifen emtsoi ze. This middle wall, loy lechach naseh, was not made for that. V'gam shebitzdadin, and also the walls that are on the sides, tchilasan l'shem sukkah nasu. They really were originally intended to be on the inside of the sukkah. Ela shehichnes doifen emtsoi l'soichan, but he moved the back wall a little bit forward, achar shero, after he saw, shai sedeyobachach. That's all the room that he needed. There's enough with that. So Rashi learns that I don't want pancakes or waffles. What's going on? Anyway, Rashi learns that the problem is this wall. Because these two walls are fine. Originally, it's Rashi that invents a whole story. Originally, these parts of the walls were supposed to be inside the sukkah, because the guy, when he built the sukkah, meant that the back wall shouldn't be flush.
What does that matter?
The side walls. Well, so Rashi's trying to say that these two walls are not a problem. They weren't intended to be on the inside. So this area in the middle, these walls were meant to serve the inside. But this back wall was supposed to be the back wall of the sukkah, and the sukkah is supposed to be inside here. This back wall was never intended to be a wall for this part of the sukkah.
Right. But then how does he figure out, how does he say then that the schach was made for, because the schach was also
the schach was put there to be schach.
The schach was made for the inner sukkah. Not the one that's going
on. Okay, good. So what? So what?
But
it's meant to be put down and give shade onto the ground. Right?
No, it's meant when you put stock on, you're doing it for the sake of putting on stock and for the sake of that stuff that you're putting on. That's why it doesn't matter where the walls are. But when you're putting the stock down, your only intention was to use the inside stuff.
So in other words, you're saying that if this part of the staff was put down separately for some reason, so then I would agree with you. It wasn't put down for the purpose of being staff. But you're pointing out, it's just a continuity of the staff on the sukkah, right?
It's like if you just had a whole sheet of staff, not that you were putting it down and placing it down. Then like if you had a sheet of staff and you just put it across,
right.
And then it happens to hang over,
right.
And then all of a sudden you have stock that's over that, but that was never your intention in the first place. Your only intention was.
You're saying that's a problem or that's okay?
No, it's a problem.
So I would say the opposite. It's okay. Because when you put it down, it's just an extension of your stock that you put down properly. It happens to have a tail, you know?
If it happened to be, like, I would say the problem would be if it's, like, jutting out a certain amount. Right, like you can't have a majority of the top jutting out and like half your
Okay, I can hear that meaning because then it's sort of like it's not what you're using for. But here it's just like its tail.
Yeah,
it's a little bit extra, but it's all connected.
So yeah, but it's tail.
It has to be lishma. Everything that I'm doing has to be lishma.
Well, okay, so let's depends how much you want to discuss.
When you place it down,
yeah,
you're placing it in the specific over the specific area that you're going to be getting shaded.
Okay, so the discussion we're having now is Mamish Givaldit, because this is the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says wall. You want to take a look quickly at Tosfos? Take a look at the Tosfos, second Tosfos.
Yeah. I still don't understand Rashi, though. Exactly what he's trying
to do. We're going to come back to it in sort of in a different way, because Tosfos is a Bam Kasha in Rashi. Mamash, a very difficult problem with Rashi. So let's try to come back to this. This is very much even, but I found it very interesting, so we'll just do it and hopefully still get through our own one. Tosis says, Livaroi lo yavidi. You see it? Second Tosis on the page. Perish Bukuntris, Rashi explained, Doifen em soize lenase lechach, that the middle wall was not meant for that. So Rashi says, it refers to the wall. Okay. Vikasha. It's very difficult. Dimimas nisin, shaminan le. Because we know that already from our Mishnah. What's the kasha of the Gemara? The kasha of the Gemara was, what's the chiddush of the Braisa? A pesel, in quotation marks, that's sticking out of your sukkah, is still considered to be part of the sukkah. What's the chiddush, says the Gemara? Obviously, if you have hechsher sukkah, what's the problem? The Gemara answers, it's a chiddush because it wasn't made for that purpose. So Rashi learns the wall. Says Tosfos, that if that's the chiddush of this Tosefta, I don't need it. I know that already from the Mishnah. What Mishnah? What's he talking about? You ready for this? Can you guess? Do you know how we know this already? Did we have a case where we were allowed to use the back of a wall for our sukkah?
Yeah.
What?
Within 4 hours.
Yeah, to what? In what case?
When it's like part of the house.
Right. Where it's like
in the middle of the house? Where the ceiling fell?
No. The other case, but the, what do you call it? We had it before.
The what?
I can't remember what it was called.
It was with the house.
Yeah, with no.
Not when it's inside the house, when it's outside the house.
You had like a courtyard. Yeah, like the courtyard that's surrounded by the house.
Good. Achsadra. The courtyard has an awning. I called it an awning, right? The courtyard has an awning that goes on top of all the doors, and you put your slat from awning to awning. So the Gemara says, exactly like you said, the Mishnah said, that as long as it's less than Dalid Amos, we'll say, Dofen
Akuma.
But you're using the outside of the wall.
Right.
So obviously that's okay. Right? Yeah? Can you picture the case? The case of our Mishnah was that you have these awnings outside in the courtyard. Do you remember the case? Can you picture it? Do you remember it?
That was, I had it on the board this morning. Who is this? Goodbye, Hugger. Bye, Avram. Bye, Sarah. So the basic gist was that you have this courtyard. Sorry, my perspective is not so good. And here are, you know, are like the doors. These are different people's houses. And then you had sticking out here was, you know, some kind of awnings.
Oh, you drew this yesterday?
Yes. Yeah, remember? So now the staff goes from across, all the way across from the awning to the awning. So you have this huge courtyard that all becomes a sukkah. So the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. If you're putting your schach on this awning, the awning is no good. You can't use it as part of your schach. So the Mishnah says, no problem. As long as it's less than 4 amos, it's dofen akuma. So you're utilizing this wall, the wall of the entire chatzer, which is the outside wall of the buildings, not the inside wall. The Mishnah started off with the case where the ceiling collapses. And so you have a big hole in your ceiling. So you put schach in your dining room because there's a hole, you know? So as long as the slat is within less than dalat amos to the wall, so then we'll say dofen akuma, and that's good. But those walls are made for the inside.
Right.
These walls are the outside. So Tosfos says, Rashi, what are you talking about? The Mishnah says that, or the Mishnah said that you can use those walls. Those are outside walls.
Legavoi avidei, v'loi levaroi avidei.
They were intended for the inside, not the outside. So the Mishnah already says you can use those walls. So that can't be the possibly the chiddush of the Tosefta. That's the whole problem the Gemara wants to resolve. What do you need it for? It's obvious. We know that already. It's a Mishnah. Yeah? So here's the question, right? Yes? No? Anybody?
What is he trying to teach us?
So he's asking on Rashi, right?
Yeah.
You can't say that's the chiddush because we know it from the Mishnah. So Tosefta says, Venira, right in the middle. Venira, after the parentheses. The akanim hayoitzim lacheri sukkakai. It's on the reeds, on the branches that are sticking out in the back of the sukkakai, this phrase, this tosefta is going on. The is, okay, whatever the gear says. In other words, the schach.
We have a problem with
that. Wait, so let me just finish before you ask anything. It tosefta says it's talking about the schach, and that's what you guys all said. It's talking about the schach. That schach was not put down there to be schach for that sukkah. So Adam and I said, okay, well, you know,
it's just the tail of your schach. So I don't know, maybe Rashi looks at it that way. But Tosis insists it can't be the wool, because that's a Mishnah. So you have to say, the other option is it's the schach. So you have to say, despite the fact that it's the tail of your schach, at the end of the day, it wasn't put in that spot for the purpose of shade. It just happens to be sticking over from the area you did put down for shade. But that area was never intended for shade, and therefore, it's no good. It should have been no good. Kamash Malan, it's a tail. Kamash Malan, it is good. Yeah?
A few questions. According to Rashi, it was made for shade over there, but after he realized it, he didn't need it, he moved it in. So it was made for the shade over there. The problem is the wall, because now he moved it in. Now
you're saying because of Rashi's whole story that he invented.
I think that's why he made the story.
I don't know when he decided to move in the wall. Maybe they made him move in the wall originally. When he put down the slab,
like
I can't imagine he moved the wall in after he put the slab.
He created a massive token, he's like, I don't need this much space, and he pulled in the wall. I think that's the case of Rashi, and therefore he said, no, it was intended over here.
I mean, I have a wooden sukkah that I build every year. I'm not really sure I could pull that off.
What do you mean he built it because his kids weren't coming? He's like, hey, I need such a big sukkah.
The schach is on it, and he took it apart and moved the wall in. You can't just pull the wall, and it's like screwed into all the other walls.
That's like, excuse me, I'm saying he didn't do screws.
You can't just pull the wall in.
But he did it, and let me ask you a question. In this case over here, we never had a problem with the wall because there's a solid piece.
Okay, you have an answer, yeah?
Okay,
hold on. Yeah? What, in Svara? The reason why it should be fine? If it's a schach or if it's the wall? Okay, so let's make it clear and simple. Stories like this. The Gemara says, Pesel Yotzim in a sukkah is a valid sukkah. Valid sukkah. Gemara says, what's the case? Gemara's first answer is, this case where the schach is sticking out into the back of the sukkah, there are walls sticking out to the back of the sukkah, so the back of your sukkah becomes a second sukkah. Gemara says, no, that is obvious. What's the chiddush? Gemara answers, the chiddush is because it was not made for that sukkah. What's it? Rashi says, the back wall. Tosfos says, but we knew that already from our Mishnah, the case of Yachsandra, that utilizing a back wall, we know that already, so that's not a good answer for the Gemara. That also would be obvious. So Tosfos says it means the schach was not made for that sukkah. Either way you learn, the Gemara says that's the chiddush of this Tosefta, is that even though you could have imagined there is a problem, it's not a problem. It's okay. It's kosher. That's the chiddush of the Tosefta, is that you thought it was a problem, it's not. The Gemara is just bothered by it. What would you have thought the problem is? There has to be a chiddush. There has to be something that's a problem.
See, that's where I don't understand. Wouldn't you think it is a problem because of the schach? Because it has to be placed with intent?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be placed with intent, right? It just has to be l'shem tzeil. It has to be for shade.
Yeah, but that wasn't l'shem tzeil. You didn't realize that when you did that all of them.
Yeah, so that's why there's Tosis thinks there's a very strong havamina that it should not be good. So then what's the answer? Why should it be good? So we'll say what Adam and I said, right? It's a tail of your schach. It was put there for shade because it's just the continuity of your other schach. You can't like draw a dividing line between your. You have a piece of bamboo, right, Benji? Bamboos, yeah. Right? Bamboo. You put your piece of bamboo down on the top of your sukkah. Did you put it there for shade?
Yeah.
So you're gonna argue, but you can cut off this part because it's sticking out. That's not for shade. It's one piece of bamboo.
It just didn't have your intent though.
But I did because that piece of bamboo is being placed on the sukkah for shade. In that spot? In this spot? No spots! I'm putting it down for a schach! It's one piece of bamboo! You don't hear this part?
I hear it, but like, at the same time, don't you, like, if you're placing schach and you didn't have the intention, it's like the whole argument way in the beginning, like, yeah. That, like, actually not the way to do, but something you're saying, like, the reason why you considered a sukkah yishen is because you didn't have the intention of it being placed there, you know, for the mitzvah of sukkah. Am I right? Because if you did it 30 days, more than 30 days before, if you did it, that means that you probably didn't have
the intention. That has nothing to do
about the shade. Okay, but again, even if you would argue that argument, which is complicated because Basil, let me pass it. Let me pass it. Basil, that is not an issue anyway. And anything that's really for this purpose of shade is fine. So you just have to make sure that this is for the purpose of shade. So the argument would have to be, but that part was not for shade. The reverse argument, the pushback would be, but how could, why are you justified in saying parts when it's one piece of schach? That piece of schach was put for shade. Not for that spot, but at the end of the day, it was put down for the purpose of
shade. It would be a better argument if you put like a piece of schach and like the outside part, like obviously you're trying to make shade there, but like if you're just trying to put like you don't have a like, perfectly fitting schach.
That's my intent, that's my point, is that you weren't trying to get shade on the outside of the subject. You were trying to get shade on the inside.
Okay, so ask the question differently. Were you trying to use that object as schach for shade?
No.
Yes.
Not
in that spot.
Exactly.
Were you trying to use that piece for shade?
Yes.
Yes, just not in that spot. So but you were trying to use that object in that position for shade.
But it so happened that it was...
No, I mean, you hear it, right?
I agree.
I understand where you're coming from.
I still think that you didn't have the intention of having...
In that spot.
In that spot, and therefore you should have to move it around at least, I don't know.
That's impossible.
I understand what you're saying, but the opposite perspective is that you shouldn't have to, because at the end of the day, it was placed for shade.
Yeah,
and you can't split off that section and say, well, that piece wasn't put there for shade. That piece wasn't. What do you mean? That piece is part of that piece. But anyway, so that's the Shagul Tari. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, is that even according to Tosis, the question that I have for you is that a crazy kasha on Rashi? Not a crazy kasha on Rashi. The Mishnah already said this. How can Rashi interpret the Gemara as talking about the wall? Isn't Tosis right? Do you have any way to explain this? Do you think it's a good question on Rashi or not a good question on Rashi?
Quickly go back then. Do you think Rashi, in the case of Rashi, brought the guy pulling the wall, Tosis doesn't seem to be arguing on that point. He's just saying, you're not teaching him anything new, you don't have a mission.
Right.
The wall was really the problem in that case, right?
He says we know that backs of walls are fine from the Mishnah. It's for sure fine. But we knew that already from the Mishnah. I don't need a Tosefta to tell me something. The Mishnah says explicitly. Does anybody have a suggestion? So one possibility is that Tosefta's say the same Chidushim as Mishnah's. Yeah, I mean that's A, right? Very Balabatish. There is the possibility that it's not a... In other words, the Gemara doesn't say pshita. Let's distinguish for a second. The Gemara says ma'u desema. What's the difference in the Gemara saying ma'u desema and pshita? What does pshita mean that ma'u desema does not? It's obvious. Without what?
Without
a Mishnah. You don't need anything. That's obvious. What's the chidush? Yeah? This is not obvious. Because it could very well be that the back of wall is not valid for a sukkah. It could be, right? It's not obvious. So what does it mean, ma'od desayma? What's your chiddush? I know that already. That's why it's such a strong kasha and Rashi. Because what do you mean you know it already? You mean you know it from another source? Well, if you know it from another source, we do know it from another source. So how does that... So, anyway, that's one possibility very well about this. Is that the Orech HaShulchan, Orech LaNer, suggests that maybe that you take a look, you have to do some real PhD thesis on this one, but maybe Tosaftas repeat the same Chiddushim as Mishnayos. Maybe they do. Then, he has another answer. And he says, when a person puts Schach on the asadris, on the onings here. So when he put the schach down, the backs of those walls are being used for the inside of the sukkah. When he put the schach down, the outside walls of the buildings are being used as the inside wall of the sukkah, correct?
Yeah.
Are you with me? Is anyone listening to me? Other than a few that are nodding? What's the chiddush? What am I trying to say? But. Good. You do it for me. But. But in this case, when you put the schach down, you had absolutely no intention that the back wall of your sukkah would be utilized for the sukkah. I know. Right?
But what if you were? What if you did?
If you did, then maybe it's different, says the Aruch Laner. So there is a difference. That's how he defends Rashi. That's not the same thing. If you would have had this case, that you're allowed to put your sukkah down and utilize the outside wall as your wall for your sukkah. And for all that, and then I would go ahead and I would say, okay, but what if you put your sukkah like that? What if you had a sukkah like that? Would you automatically know it's good? Says Yarech Laner, not necessarily, because remember, this is like an accidental sukkah. The pesel, yotzei min sukkah, that tzchach ended up there, or the wall actually ended up there, that ends up being a sukkah area like by accident, by default. So in that case, it could be that it's not good. That's actually a chiddush.
And why would the wall be the problem? When I put the schach on there, I had the intention of the wall should color the
in the achzad, in the chutzer case.
Right, when I put the schach on there, I have no intention.
Exactly.
Not that wall, I was on the schach on top, the wall, that whole sukkah part.
No, you have absolutely
no intention for this to be a sukkah. But not just the wall, the walls matter. The schach, the side walls, and that wall. It's not just that empty wall. I had no intention for anything outside of my sukkah.
Yeah.
I'm actually specifically targeting the wall. But you didn't care about the outside wall. You cared
but
about
that's what Rashi's saying, is that the back of the wall you didn't intend. The side
Rabbi,
walls, it says you technically did. Because you moved it in.
Since when do walls matter? When? Since when? When did the status of your intention of the wall matter in any of these cases?
We did see it before. The Gemara actually said it by this Dofen Akuma case. So the Gemara said, we have so many cases of Dofen Akuma. Why do you need multiple cases? So the Gemara itself, if you remember, asked on the Mishnah, and it said, if you have a bayis shenafachas, there's a hole in the ceiling, why do you also need to tell me the case of the achsadra? Do you remember that? Why do you need several cases? Remember on the Mishnah, this isn't really going to answer your question. I'm just pointing out that, you know, that's the way it is. It's on Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. It's mamash the first comments of the Gemara. Because the Mishnah said, no good. The second case of Mishnah is bayis shenafachas, hole in the roof, fill it in with schach. You have to say dofen akuma. As long as you dofen akuma, you're good. You're good. Then the Gemara says v'chein chatzer that has an achsadra. And the Gemara has a third case too. Mishnah has a third case too. So the Gemara right away says, what do you know all these cases for? It's the same principle applicable in all these cases. You say dofen akuma, you say dofen akuma. You can't say dofen akuma, you don't say dofen. You can't say dofen akuma. What's the chiddush? Why do you need several cases in a Mishnah? So you remember the answer? My answer is because in the case of the house, the walls are for the inside. In the case of the outside, the walls are for the outside. So I don't know how to answer your question exactly, like where did that come from? But there's at least some sort of thought process that it might not have been good. In all the cases, it is good. But there was a thought process that you actually have to be utilizing walls that are intended for that area.
No,
at the end of the day, there's no psul. There's no psul. We haven't found any case where there's
a
psul.
So here too. Who cares about
this? At the end of the day, we don't care. But the Gemara said it's a chiddush. What's the chiddush? And that's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah, Albert.
If you put that middle wall directly in the center, so it's 50-50 on each side,
yeah.
For two families to have like one sukkah,
yeah.
Two
sure. Yeah, at the end of the day, even without kavanah, it's kasher. That's what we're saying. At the end of the day, it's for sure kasher. The only question is, why would you think it's not? Okay, so that's a very fascinating answer of the Aruch Laner. He makes a very sharp distinction. There are other more practical answers, but okay, we'll leave it at that. Right there. What? But they're both for 7 days. What's wrong?
No, but it's just technically in two sukkahs, no? Even though you're sitting in one side, but it's two sukkahs making it up. What would be wrong?
Why? I don't understand what's wrong. What was
so, wrong? We spoke about how when it comes to a sukkah, you differentiate it by sukkahs, by a sukkah, since it's not multiple sukkahs, but it means one sukkah.
On top.
I'm saying on top. What would be the problem in the case of on top, one on top of the other? Because you're not
sukkah, gabi sukkah.
So this is only one sukkah. But if I split it in the middle, regular sukkah.
No, because one's on top. That's the problem. The problem is there's another sukkah on top.
In two sukkahs?
Yeah, but there's no problem with making two sukkahs out of the same pieces of wood. That's no problem. That's what we're saying. Rabbi Ruyeh Samar Tarbayu. Rabbi Ruyeh both said, Hacha. Again, we're answering the question. We're going back to the original question. The original question was, what is Pesel Yotzim in a sukkah, Nidon Kisukkah? What does it mean? Pesel, it comes out of the sukkah, is like a sukkah. So our first answer was, it's the back of the sukkah. Next. Rabbi Rav Yosef, they said together, they both said, Hacha here, but kind of a yetim lifnim min ha-sukkah. It's branches that are going out from the inside, not the back, from the inside of the sukkah, min ha-sukkah, but they continue out of the sukkah, umashcha ve'azala, and they continue to go, chada doifen behadayu, with one wool along with them.
So this is a more simple case, where a bird's eye view, you have a sukkah like this. The schach, I don't know exactly how you do this with stuff, but the schach continues past where there are walls. So there's only one, there's the two walls. If you're sitting here, you're really only surrounded by two walls. The third wall doesn't reach you at all.
Yeah, but maybe there's just a bar that extends down and no actual.
No, there's not. That's the case.
Oh, but there's absolutely nothing?
There's nothing. I don't know how the schach can stay there. It's ananya kavod after all. So somehow
I'm there's not even a bar.
I'm not, maybe it is, but it's not a tap off. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's something just to keep it up. Or maybe there are beams that keep it up, they're strong enough. But whatever it is, there's no other wall that you would be surrounded by. You are sitting only surrounded by this wall, and this wall is not.
No, I mean, it's not a wall. It would be a beam.
Okay, but then it's not significant, right? Maybe there's a beam of some sort.
But it's not significant in terms of the halachas of walls.
Right.
So that's what the Gemara says. That's the case. That's called Pesel, Hayotze Min HaSukkah, Schach, that is coming out of your sukkah. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ma'od the same. What is there to say? I might have thought, Hales b'hechsher sukkah, that maybe you would be considered to not be in a kosher sukkah because you're not surrounded by three walls. Kamash malan. Yes, yes, you are. That's no worse than shlishis afilu tefach, right? You can have two walls and a tefach. That's no worse than two walls and a tefach, right? No? You guys remember that? Shlishas afilu tefach? So, that's a little bit funny also to work out what that's really a chiddush. Rabbi Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nitzricha, this statement of Pesel Yotzim L'Sukkah is Nidon K'Sukkah, is only necessary L'Sukkah Sheruba Tzilasa May, sorry, Lasuka Sharuba Kama Tzilasa Miruba Mechamasa Umiuta Chamasa Miruba Mechilasa. This statement of Pesach Yotzim Min HaSukkah Nidon K'Sukkah means to say, imagine you're sitting in your sukkah at home. Most of your sukkah has a nice mat on top, which is generating more shade than sun. But part of your sukkah has like a really worn out mat. Yeah? So it's all continuous schach, but part of your sukkah is really more sunlight than shade in it. Now, most of your sukkah has more shade than sunlight. But there is a significant minority of your sukkah that has more sunlight than shade.
Is that how we look at it? Do you break your sukkah again, or would you say
collectively? So that's the Havamina. The answer is that's called Pesel Yotzei Min HaSukkah. That is schach that's coming out of your sukkah, because the area of your sukkah that is 100% kosher, because it has more shade than sun, that's for sure fine. Now, as the schach continues from that, even though it doesn't have more shade than sun in that part of the sukkah, that is kosher, because that's called pesel, hayotzei min ha-sukkah. That's what they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And this really does happen, I'm sure, all the time, right? You can have areas of your sukkah where you're not sitting under three tefachim of airspace. You're sitting under schach, but it's Shavacha, schacha.
What if it was the fucking airspace?
Then you can't sit under it.
Why?
Because even though we say love, but actually, we're going to see. Did we see that? Where are we?
Getting my sukkah collectively has more.
Yeah, we'll see that on the bottom of the page. We'll see that soon. If we can try to get to it. Mark is it. Go. Mahu de sema. I might have thought. Tifsol b'hach purta. That part of the sukkah that doesn't have proper shade more than sun, maybe you're not allowed to sit in that part of the sukkah. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush pesel yotzim min sukkah nidon k'sukkah, that is valid, because since you start off with a kosher sukkah, the extension of your schach is continuous sukkah. So everything we've seen so far is basically really one basic principle, right? Pesel yotzim min sukkah means the continuity of your schach is considered part of your sukkah. maybe not exactly the same sukkah because it's the back or whatever, but it's all good. But wait a minute. If we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan, is the first time we're encountering that you're still talking about in your sukkah. Because in the first case, it's yotzei mina sukkah because it's the back. In the second case, it's yotzei mina sukkah because it's yotzei from the three walls. In this case, it's not yotzei mina sukkah, it's in the sukkah. So Gemara says, "Umay yoytze mech." What does it mean? Umay yoytze. What does it mean? It's sticking out. It ain't sticking out. Yoytze mech shir sukkah. It's sticking out of kosher area of your sukkah. That's all it means to say. It's not yoytze mina sukkah. It's yoytze mina quote unquote sukkah. Yoytze mina kosher sukkah area. Okay, that was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Aisha Amar, "Lenitzuch ela leschach pasel pachas mishloisha besukkah ketana." This statement of Pesel, Hayetz Min HaSukkah, is like Sukkah. Now remember, until now we've understood Pesel to mean extension of your Schach. Not so sure that's what we're going to do now. This is necessary. Lo Nitzrecha, it's only necessary. Ella, except for. Schach Pesel, Pachos Mishloisha, B'Sukkah Kitana. You have Pesel, Schach Pesel, in your very small Sukkah that's 7x7 Tefachim. It's a very small Sukkah. And you have a very little bit of it. It's less than 3 tefachim, but it is schach pasel in your sukkah. So pesel hayotze min hasukkah, some schach pasel even in a sukkah ketana, as long as it's not enough to be a problem, even according to Remeir, 3 tefachim, whatever. As long as it's not taking up too much room in your tiny sukkah, is nidon kesukkah, still allows your sukkah to be kosher. Wait, so according to this, what is it saying? Pesel hayotze min hasukkah, nidon kesukkah. It means to say that if you have schach pasul in your sukkah, but not in a very significant amount, meaning less than 3 tefachim, your tiny sukkah is still kasher.
Umay yotze.
So then, what does it mean? It's yotze min hasukkah. It's not sticking out of the sukkah anymore. So what do you mean? There's schach pasul that's yotze min hasukkah. What's yotze min hasukkah now?
Yotze min toira sukkah.
It's pasul because it's outside of the regular rules of a kosher sukkah. So that's probably the sketchiest we've seen so far, right? Pesel hayotze min hasukkah, sach pasel, which you can't really use for sukkah. Nonetheless, it's still considered to be sukkah.
Okay, this is the first time we have an attack. Maskifla Rav Yeshaya. Rav Yeshaya asked an attack question. Lo yehei ela avir.
Sach pasel certainly is not worse than airspace, right? Everyone knows that if you have airspace, you need less than 3 tefachim. If you have schach pasel, at least in a large sukkah, you can have theoretically up until 4 tefachim. So, what's worse, airspace or schach pasel?
Airspace,
because it passels with a lesser amount. So it's no worse than airspace.
Lo yehei ela avir. It shouldn't be except for airspace. Va'avir pachas mishloisha tefachim b'sukkah ketana mi pasel.
And if there's less than 3 tefachim of airspace, even in a sukkah ketana, who said it's pasul? What's the problem? Say love, would you know? So what's the kasha is, what's the chiddush? What's your chiddush? You're going to tell me that if you have a little bit of schach pasul in a tiny sukkah, that the whole sukkah should be no good? But if it was airspace, it would be fine. And airspace is worse than schach pasul. And everyone agrees to that. So what's the chiddush? What are you saying?
Amar le Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said to him, Zeh mitztaref v'yashenin tachtov. Schach pasul joins together with a schach kasher, and you can sleep under it. Vizeh, and this, meaning airspace, mitzdareif, will join in with the rest of your schach, ve'ein yeshenim tachtov.
But you're not allowed to sleep under it. That's the difference. The chiddush is that you might have thought that it passes your sukkah, because if you're going to treat it like airspace, you wouldn't be allowed to sleep under it. The chiddush is that if you have schach pasul in a small sukkah, less than 3 tefachim, you can even sleep under it. But if it was airspace, then you wouldn't be able to sleep under it. I don't know how you do that. Can you imagine a sukkah that's 7x7 tefachim, and you got less than 2 tefachim, less than 3 tefachim of airspace, and you're going to sleep? I don't know. There's not a lot of room in that sukkah. Okay, but whatever it is, that you wouldn't be allowed to sleep under the airspace.
The Gemara has a fascinating kasha. Umi'ika midi ti'itztarufei mitztaref. Mi'ika midi, is there a thing? Is there a thing, the itztarufe mitztaref, that surely joins together with everything else?
V'hu atzmoi, but it itself, eino kasher, is not kasher? Can you have something that joins together with something else, but in and of itself you can't use? You can use airspace to be machshir a sukkah, but you obviously can't have a sukkah that's all airspace. Now, schach pasel, there are different types of schach pasel. So you can have schach pasel that's wood, but it's a gzeira against it because of the tikra. Like, at least it's in like the parsha of schach, you know what I mean? It's in the parsha. Like, airspace can join together and not be part of it. So let's say it differently. How could you have airspace be part of your sukkah? Okay, you can't sleep under it. So maybe there's a love with thing going on. Okay. But let's talk about the schach pasel for a minute. You can sleep under it. But if you made your whole sukkah out of schach pasel, obviously it would be no good. So that's a little strange, right? You can join something together that in and of itself would be totally useless and invalid. Then what makes it join your schach? You know, if you're gonna invite a friend over to be part of your new club, and the person has like mamish, they're not part of your club because they're not defined by the definitions of your club. You know, Calvin or Hobbes, gross, get rid of slimy girls. The S is at the end of the last one. You know, like, girls just can't be part of the club because they're girls. It's gross. You know, get rid of slimy girls. Like, you can't have them in the club. So if she's not a guy, she can't be part of the club. She's not been starting for the club. She just can't be. Susie. She can't be part of the club. You know? But if it's a guy, but like he's got whatever issues he's got, at least he's a guy, you know? We don't want him in the club because he's this, that, and the other thing. He likes to wear dresses. But at the end of the day, he's a guy. So even though he likes to wear dresses, he can still be part of the club. Anyway, how can it be that something will join together, but in and of itself is totally puzzle for the thing? Is that possible? Can we answer? Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. Here's what Eliashiv said. In. Yes. Tit hanara kechiyach. Tit is some sort of like tar, pitch, like clayish type of substance. So it theoretically could be very thick. Could be like a tar type of thing. But naruk means it's able to be poured. Tit naruk yoichiyach. Pitch that can be poured will prove it. How so? Shemitzareif l'arba'im sa'ah, because it joins together to 40 sa'ah. Vatoivel boy, but if a person tries to dip in that, in just the mushy, the liquidy pitch, like also a tvila, then his tvila does not count. What's the case? So Rashi explains. So he has his own issues with it. That if you're making a mikveh, so you're filling it up, you need mem sa'ah of water. Naturally flowing water, rainwater or whatever, right? A mikveh. Okay. So then you don't have a full shiur. But at the bottom of the mikveh is this liquidy tar stuff. So do you need mem sa'ah on top of that? Or since it's already there and you didn't put it there, it's all free-flowing gook, you can count that towards your mem sa'ah. So Gemara says you can count. The Mishnah says you can count it towards your mem sa'ah because it's like liquidy. It's considered like a liquid. You can count it. Could you make a mikveh out of that pitch, that tar stuff? Absolutely not. So here's the case where you have something that in and of itself is totally puzzle for a mikveh, but it'll be mitzarif to the shiur that's necessary. We can go a lot deeper than that because there's a whole tosis in here on issues about, well, can you actually be toivel in it as part of the memsa? Like, what if your body is in that pitch? Does that affect any? Can you actually like sleep under it? I mean, can you utilize it? Or you can't utilize the pitch itself?
You step inside.
Yeah, if you're utilizing it actually as the part that you're going in, Tosis says it's clear that that does not count. So you can use it to be mashlin the shear, but in and of itself, just like the airspace, you really can't use it. You can't sleep under it. It really doesn't work.
But if it's on the bottom of the mikvah, when you step in, you're going to have to get out anyway. So you're going to be in water.
Yeah, so we'll have to figure out the details. Next time it comes up, you know, you'll let me know. But, yeah. Okay, let's just get through the Mishnah of the Gemara, and then we'll stop. The next thing the Mishnah says, Ha'isikasikim in Srif, Ha'isikasikim. So this is how we started today. That all the pictures you've always seen in your lives, I don't know, I guess we're just going to have to destroy all your images of these things. So, a person makes his sukkah like a tzrif, where he leans his schach up against a wall. It really has a replace all. Mibnesha in Lagag, Fachamim Achshirin. Rabbi Elazar says it's no good, it doesn't have a roof. And Chachamim say it's fine. I ask you, Chevra, and especially those of you that have picture books or Gemara's pictures, in them, what does a sukkah kmin srif look like? Does anyone want to take a stab at this? What is a sukkah kmin srif? Who has pictures? Mm-hmm. Somebody show us.
You have a...
What do you mean? What does it mean?
Yeah, how do you translate?
Well, that's part of the problem.
Circular?
You have a picture? I will show you the picture that's printed in my Gemara. Do you have a picture?
I do not.
Ba-bom. This triangular shape is the picture that is in my Gemara. Does anybody have a different picture? Yes, that's the same picture. The same artist. Yours is in color, though.
Like a tent.
It looks like your traditional like army tent. It's just a triangle. Yeah? Now, I asked for Schechter. I asked Konigsberg. I asked for Sokolovsky. Nobody thinks that this is a kosher sukkah. Schechter and others, they say that what it means, a tzrif, is like a teepee. Meaning, it's rounded. That's what he said, a circular. Circular, I don't know if you're, that's where you're coming from. But kmin srif doesn't mean you're leaning up against each other, because what would be the problem with that?
There's no three walls.
Just push it. What are our original mishnayos, right? That you require two walls and a tefach. You have to have three walls. The third wall can be pretty minimal, but you got to have a third wall. What else did we learn?
Hey, what do you consider like bottom?
I mean, the floor has to be a 10-foot
floor.
So you want to argue, very interesting. You want to suggest that the floor should be a wall. So what's like just the obvious knockout to that?
I don't know why I'm going to argue with two walls and say the floor is a wall. So.
Yeah, we need Shlisha Zafila Devach for that.
But that's different, because that's when like the schach is on top. This is the schach is touching.
I can maybe hear what you're suggesting. So then the next question I would ask is, what did we say about a sukkah that only has two walls and is what we call mefulash? Do you remember that? I did a couple of days ago. We did it in terms of the chatzer. We said, what if you have, you know, a sukkah where it has like these two walls? Do you remember this? Well, there's Rava, right? Rava asked on Abaye, so according to you, if you're going to say Pitikra, you're the same. So all you need in the back of the sukkah is like one tefach pole. And what did Abaye answer him? Do you remember? That's like a mavui that is mefulash. There's no way you're going to have a sukkah that's mefulash, that you can just walk straight through. Remember? So that sounds like everybody agrees to that. So that's what I would answer to you. So even if you'll argue that it has three walls, because maybe in this case, because it touches the ground, maybe you can count the ground as one of the walls, but it's the first shurma fulash, right? It shouldn't be good. So that's why everyone I spoke to, Lillian Schechter, Shlita, see, he assumes that you have to be talking about a sukkah that, you know, does something like this. You know, maybe coming to a point or something like that, but it's... No, it's got to be rounded in a way where you've got somehow three walls. Now, the way that this works... And the same thing when it's leaning up against the wall, something like this, you're going to have it either going on the side or something on the side, so you have three walls. The staff will count as a wall, we'll see in a minute, but you need the wall here and you need something else on the other side. It can't be foolish. It can't be all the way through.
What if it's like three pieces, well not of wood, but like that, and they're just leaning against each other, like there's one in the middle
yeah,
and
as long as
leaned on it.
As long as you can have three walls on one way or another. Now the reason why this is okay, this is the works of Sad, and Shonam will deal with this, is that similar to when we discussed a circular sukkah in the past? Do you remember, this is like very beginning of the year, we talked about a circular sukkah, we said as long as your square sukkah has enough dimensions on the inside, then you're okay? So, you know, that like our sukkah, so okay, but it has to be able to fit a sukkah on the inside. Same thing here. Whatever angles you're going to have, it's going to have to be enough that you have 10 tefachim of height, and then
7 tefachim for your room in your, in, that you can fit into that sukkah. So whatever, so you mathematicians out there are going to have to work out what exactly that angle is going to have to be. But as long as you have this area inside of it, so you've got a kosher sukkah, because we don't care that this schach also functions as a wall. Yeah? But you do have to be able to have 10 tefachim of height and 7 tefachim of width.
Is it going to be a circular like tent, or is it going to be like, you see what I'm saying?
It could be a circle, that's fine. But you have to be able to have a square.
Triangle. Usually it would be like, I'm kind of viewing it as like, there's more of a, like a rotund shape to it.
That's fine. Because it probably will have to be.
Yeah.
It probably will have to be. Okay. So, but it's going to have to be able to fit a sukkah on the inside of it, and that's what makes it kasha.
Are the walls in this case the schach, and that's like that's
yeah.
What it is?
Yeah.
So I have a teepee, like a real teepee.
A real teepee made out of schach. Correct.
Be okay.
As long as you can have 10 tefachim, you have to be able to fit a 7x7x10 box inside.
Right.
If you can, you don't have to actually, but it has to theoretically be able to fit. If you can, then that will be your sukkah. We will count those, the schach, that's on ground level, as walls.
And if I had that hole in the top, it's like teepee together, as long as that is smaller than...
That would have to be love wood, but then you can't sleep under it, you're going to have a lot of problems practically. But yeah, okay. So that's the mission set. So this is the classic mission set. So all these pictures, according to all the Rabbanim and Yeshiva, are all wrong. What can I tell you? That's the strangest thing. So if you can figure out anything, ask people. Ask around. Is there anybody else that learns this differently? Is there another way to learn this? I don't see Mishonim talking about it. I just assumed, I guess, that there has to be a third wall. Rabbi Eliezer Paisel, Mishan of God, he told, no, there is no roof. There has to be a flat place someplace. So that's what he holds. And then Chachamim say, absolutely not. We have a right to view the angled schach as until here, Ad Kan is a wall, and then even though it continues at an angle, we view that as the top, as the schach of your sukkah. Tan, we learn. In whatever it is, Tosefta, whatever it is, Gimel, what is this? Tosefta Paragon. Okay, learning the Tosefta. Moide Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is willing to agree to the Chachamim. Shem Higbiya min Akarka Tefach. Or Shehifliga min Akaisal Tefach. Shehik Sheira. That if you raise up the Schach from the ground, a Tefach, or you distance it from the wall, a Tefach, then it's Kasher. What do you mean? So in other words, if you were able to, when Rabbi Eliezer said you need a gog, you need a roof, he didn't mean it has to be flat. He just means it has to be something that the schach is on top of. So you could do that, interestingly, in one of two ways. Either by putting a tefach pole or something on the bottom, and then leaning up the schach on top of that, so then this becomes a slanted roof. Who says your roof has to be straight? You can have a slanted roof. Where in that case, we will count it as part of the wall, interestingly enough. But that tefach is enough that we can view it as a roof, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Or you can distance it here, a tefach, from the wall. And then also you have a slanted, very funny slanted roof, and then a very funny wall that it's living up against. It's like there's no gravity up on the wall over here. But whatever. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Eliezer would be okay with that.
Where would be your wall? What would be your wall?
That's enough to be that the schach should be legitimately viewed as a roof, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm going to say you don't need that. We can view it as there's enough space here to make it the roof. So we'll just delineate the angle where it ends, our 10 tefachim ends. The rest will be a roof. I don't need it to be visible or recognizable in any way, shape, or form. But Rabbi Eliezer insists that you do. But a tefach is enough for him. So that's what it says in the Tosefta. So he gave me a kark, he lifted up from the ground the tefach. Oi, so he fliga, you separated it, right? Plag again, the same word, plag. He fliga, you distanced it from the kaisa, from the wall of tefach, shikshera, then it's kasha. My tamay the Rabbanon. Why? What is the reason for the Rabbanon who hold that you don't need to do that? Shipuei oyalim, ki oyalim damu. Because the slope, right? Shipua means a slope. The slope of a tent is like a tent. You don't have a problem saying that it's on a slope, and then you can view the first 10 tefachim of it, or the slope that gets up to 10 tefachim high. You can view that as a wall, it's not a problem. Abaye asked the Rabbi Yosef, Abaye found Rabbi Yosef,
Because Gani Vekilas Chasanim Basukka. He was actually sleeping. What's called Akilas Chasanim. So if you remember, Akilas Chasanim is like that our military tent. Amarle, Kiman. How could you possibly sleep in that bed, in that type of tent inside your sukkah? Who are you holding light? Kerebi Eliezer? Like Rabbi Eliezer? Why would they do like Rabbi Eliezer? Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that we don't view that type of structure as having a roof. But according to the Rabbanan, who say that we view slopes like walls and a roof, so how could you ever sleep in a Kilas Chasanim? How could you sleep in a military style bed? Because the Rabbanan should view the slope as being 10 tefachim of wall and then a roof, right? Shavkis Rabbanan, that means you have left the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Avadita, and done in action, and Avadi did, Rabbi Eliezer, like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? So remember I told you a number of times that whenever you find an opinion with a name in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah says the Rabbanan or Chachamim or whatever, then Rabbanan and Chachamim are the majority opinion. And the name is a Das Yachid, is a lone opinion. And we don't follow lone opinions versus the majority. Right? So how could you do that? Abai says, should be safe. Amalei. So he responded to him with a bunch of technicalities. Braisa ifcha tani. The Braisa teaches the names in an opposite fashion. Rabbi Eliezer machshir v'chachamim peislin. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says a sukkah built like that is kasher, and the chachamim say it's no good. So according to him, the chachamim are the majority opinion, and they say the opposite. They say that you need a roof, so the opinions get switched. So according to him, actually Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says I can't sleep with a kilas chasanim. Rabbanan say I can, because Rabbanan don't view a slope as a wall and a roof. So then Abaye says to him, okay, let me get this straight. You admit that the Mishnah says the Chachamim hold that your Kilas Chasanim would be no good. But you have a Braisa that switches around the opinions. Shavkis Masnisen, you've left the Mishnah, Vavadita Ki Braisa, and you're going to do an action based on a Braisa? Aren't the Mishnayos more accurate than the Braisas? How could you do that? Amalei, he said, Rabbi Yosef said back to Abaye, Masnisin Yechudahi. The Mishnah, that of course was put together by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he put it together Yechudahi, based on the opinion of one person. This Anya, as we learn in Abraisa, Ha'aisa Sukkah Sikim Insur, which is some Chalakaisa if a person makes his Sukkah like a tipi, or he leaned at a schach up against the wall. Rabbi Nasan Oimer, Rabbi Nasan says, Rabbi Eliezer poisel. Rabbi Eliezer holds no good. Mipnei she'ein lagav v'chachamim achshirin, because it has the roof, and the chachamim say it's fine. So it's interesting. In this brisa, the brisa relates that Rabbi Nasan held this was the machlokas. If it was the machlokas, you don't need to introduce by saying Rabbi Nasan said it's the machlokas. You just say the machlokas. The fact that the Braisa says Rabbi Nasan said the following was the machlokes means that others disagreed with the way the machlokes came out. So that's what Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye, is that the reason that I'm following the Braisa, not the Mishnah, is because there's another Braisa that says that the Mishnah, as presented by Rabbi Hanasi, was actually only the opinion of Rabbi Nasan. Others learned that that was not the correct machlokes, it was the reverse opinions. And that's why I did what I did. I have no problem sleeping in the Kilas Chasanim in a sukkah. Got it? Okay.